Good morning and welcome to another virtual service. My name is Sam Visser and I'm the children's pastor here at New Life. We're a church that strives to see lives changed, diverse communities formed, and radical impacts made, all for the glory of God. We love hearing from you and connecting with you, so please don't hesitate to reach out and connect. And the best ways you can do that are on our website or through our Facebook and Instagram. Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
guides all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the stone, live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us together. My name is Dave DeClear. My wife and I have been attending New Life for about 5 years, and you'll often see us down with our kids with waving flags during the service. Today is our kickoff Sunday. We are so excited to be back together, worshiping together as a body of Christ. And if you're unable to attend, like myself, you'll be watching this video and being included as well. We are excited about our new ministry season here at New Life. GEMS, cadets, seniors, life groups, we're all starting back up again. Some upcoming events we have are New Life Live, which will be on September 30th in an online format this year. On Thanksgiving Sunday, October 12th, we're going to be having a food drive. November 20th and 21st, we have a marriage night for all of us couples. In December, there will be a Bethlehem walk being hosted by the church. And today, our offering is for the Benevolent Fund, which is administered by our deacons to help those in need in our community and to help those with affording tuition for Christian schools. For ways to give, look in the video link below or in the bottom of your screen. And let's pray for that at this time. Dear God, thank you for today, and thank you that we can be together, meeting in together as the body of Christ. I pray that you would give wisdom to our deacons as they administer these funds, and I pray you would guide them and so we can bless those in need in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now our kids will be heading off for their service. Pastor Sam has a video and activity for you. The series this month is called Imagination Time Machine, where kids will be transported back to Old Testament times to be able to find out what it was like to be an Israelite back in Bible times. So that should be very exciting. And now is a good time to pause this video and get them set up on the iPad in the other room.
All right, well, it's wonderful to be with you again. And today is an exciting day. Today we begin a vision series as we kick off the fall church season. Quite excited about it. And we've got our outdoor service occurring as well. And in this vision series, we're going to be thinking about what's ahead for New Life this year. Where will we go? And what can we accomplish? So with a vision, we anticipate all kinds of excitement and all kinds of ambition and the promise of great things ahead of us. And that kind of picture is a little bit more difficult to imagine this year. And so we've entitled this series, Wilderness. You see, at New Life, we envision the great experiences of a changed life, a diverse community, and a radical impact. But the change that we so badly want doesn't seem to be happening. And the diverse community that we imagine is, well, in fact, dispersed. And, well, we don't even really know who's all in the community anymore. And the radical impact, it seems, has less to do with God and more to do with a virus that has radically impacted our lives. Remember when we could go to church? Remember when we could go to this place and we could be with people that we were used to seeing week after week? And perhaps we had taken that experience for granted. The experience was, it quite frankly was wonderful, wasn't it? Great music, great fellowship, maybe even great coffee, a great message, inspirational, at least you hope for it. It's part of the good life that we had, no matter what the shape of your life had been. And we imagine that was what experiencing God was all about. To escape the hectic pace of life once a week and enter into this church and find a little peace and inspiration. But now the vision for what lies ahead seems to be one of a lonely wilderness. That experience of God that we had seems impossible. And the excitement, the anticipation of a changed life now drags on into just more screen time. So it's something like what the Israelites went through when God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. It was a dramatic rescue with the promise of an exciting future, a great vision for what's up ahead. Indeed, a changed life. And so you probably know the story of Moses contending with the great Pharaoh of Egypt, let my people go. And then the 10 plagues that subsequently followed to encourage Pharaoh to give it up for God. The parting of the Red Sea, in which the people of Israel crossed on dry land, and then the drowning of the Egyptians chasing those Israelites wanting their cheap labor back. It's all a spectacularly miraculous escape. What an experience of God indeed. Absolutely exhilarating. And then Moses leads them out of Egypt and into a desert. Now, I'm assured by colleagues who have gone to the Holy Land that the contrast is stark and sudden between the lush greenness of Egypt and its land of plenty, and then the desert, which is horrifyingly barren. And so when the Israelites came out of Egypt, I'm sure it was some kind of relief, but as they entered into the desert, then they ran out of water, which of course is a very dangerous thing. And then they ran out of food. And this is the account of their experience. In Exodus chapter 16, after this whole episode, the first 15 chapters of God's rescue of his people out of the slavery in Egypt, then we get this in Exodus chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. What is it like to experience God? Oh. In this story, we're usually quick to blame the Israelites for a terrible lack of faith. I mean, after all, it had been a mere 1 month, a mere 30 days after the grand rescue that God had supplied for the Israelites. And so short a time afterwards, they're already complaining. And so it's easy for us to go, oh, come on, Israelites, you shouldn't have complained so soon after what great thing God has done for you. And we figure that if the Israelites were so quick to complain to God, then they deserve to be stuck in a wilderness. But now we are in a similar situation. We too find ourselves in a kind of wilderness place. And experiencing God, we ought to realize, isn't always a paradise. We experience God when we spend time in the wilderness, in fact, probably the best place to experience God, in fact. There we're forced to face our insufficiency, there we're forced to face our inadequacy, and there in the wilderness we're placed to face our total dependence on God. It's in the wilderness that we're most likely to ask those critical questions of the meaning of our life. Where does our life come from? What will be our security? Where will be our refuge? Who will provide for us? What is my life? And perhaps you, like me, have at times prayed that, oh, you just want more of God, to experience his fullness, to be swept up into his presence. In my experience, it's kind of ironic then that when God answers my prayer of wanting more of God, life usually doesn't get happier or easier. But rather, I usually find myself in, a wilderness of sorts. And in the midst of my grumbling and complaining, I realize that's where I listen the best to God. In the rough spots of my life is where I listen for His assurance that I can have all of Him. And then I usually find myself saying, I'm not sure I want all of that. And then I grumble and complain some more. You see, in fact, this experience of God may well be about grumbling our way into a changed life. The grumbling in chapter 16 of Exodus, the grumbling of the Israelites, it isn't condemned. It's not that the Israelites are such terrible whiners. They're finding where their life really comes from. They're grumbling their way into a changed life. They're learning to trust in God alone for everything they need. Hard lessons indeed. In a sense, I suspect that at least from Exodus 16, it's as if God is suggesting that we grumble our way into a changed life in order to experience Him, to experience that changed life. Because the point of the story in Exodus 16 isn't a moralistic finger wagging about the sin of complaining. Otherwise, the lesson in this story is simply stop complaining and suck it up. But that's not how God responds to the Israelite grumbling. That's not how God responds to our grumbling. Listen again to the story as it continues. Chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, without placing any kind of judgments upon the Israelites complaining, the story immediately proceeds this way. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day, and in this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And on the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. God graciously provides for the Israelites out of His sheer goodness, not because they've begged God for more, not because they made a bargain with God, simply out of God's own love and mercy for His people. He supplies their every need. And when God provides the manna, He also gives them instructions about how to collect it each day, and specifically not to collect it on the seventh day. Further on in the story, there's further explanation about why and the introduction of Sabbath rest. It's the first time in the Bible since creation of the world when God rested on the seventh day that the Bible mentions anything about the Sabbath. And then a few short chapters later, in chapter 20 of Exodus, we get the Ten Commandments, among which is observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And here God is saying, not only will I provide for you in the wilderness, not only will I give you everything you need, but you can rest. You can rest assured that I will always provide for you. Trust me in this. That's essentially what Sabbath is about. Learning to trust that God will provide. Learning to trust that God will be there for you. Always. To live in that kind of trust is indeed to experience God. To live in that kind of trust is what it means when we say we want to be an agent here at New Life for a changed life. To learn to center our life entirely around trusting God for His presence and for His provision. And so when Jesus in John chapter 6 says, I am the bread of life, He's perhaps thinking of the Israelites in the wilderness being given manna from heaven. So that in fact, when Jesus utters those words, "I am the bread of life," he is saying, "Trust me. Trust me for that experience of God. Trust me for that experience of a changed life. Trust me, and I will provide for you. I will save you. I will redeem you. I will rescue you. I will give you everything you need. I will give you life." To trust that Jesus is with us in this wilderness time is to live a changed life and to trust him wholeheartedly. To trust that Jesus is active in this wilderness when we're so restricted is to live a changed life and to have the confidence that Jesus will continue to do great things, that Jesus will continue to guide us even in the midst of this barrenness. To trust that God will still accomplish great things here in our ministry at New Life, in this new fall season, in this wilderness. Well, that is to experience God. That is what it means to experience a changed life, to wholeheartedly trust in God. So here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to take a moment, and probably the best time to do that is right now. Take a moment right now and reflect on the ways that God has been active in your life during the last 6 months. And use that in terms of looking ahead to what God is leading us into. And so ask yourself these two questions. Where have you seen God at work in these last 6 months? And then the second question I want you to ask is, where have you struggled in these last 6 months in your relationship with God? Where have you seen God active, and where have you struggled in your relationship with God? Take a moment and reflect on that. And then let's together embrace this vision for new life, to be an agent for a changed life in the lives of people, ourselves included, who hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, we confess that our sight is so limited, and it's so easy for us to become discouraged and then to grumble and complain when things aren't going our way. We confess, Father, that we've had it so good. We also confess, God, that a lot of times our vision for experiencing you and your presence in our life has simply been good times. And so in the midst of difficulty and in the midst of hardship and in the midst of disruption of our lives, God, I pray that by your Spirit, you will lead us and guide us into a vision for the future that is entrusted completely into your hands. And so we pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to go into this new week and into this new fall season with the confidence that God leads us and guides us, even when we find ourselves in the wilderness. That is the story of God's salvation as we read it through the pages of Scripture. God never fails us. Indeed, He has established His salvation already through Jesus Christ. Keep on learning to trust in Him, and the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face of love towards you and give you His peace. Amen.
Sweet to
want is to live within His love, to know Him deeper, and to live fearlessly in His light. What a beautiful prayer. This morning, Pastor Nathan started off our vision series by showing us how we can trust God in the uncertainties and the unknowns of the wilderness. He also challenged us to reflect on our lives in the last 6 months and see how God has been at work in our lives. We want to hear your testimonies about that, so please send them in to Pastor Nathan. We also have New Life Live coming up on September 30th, and this time around it's going to be online, so stay tuned for more details about that. God bless, and go in peace.